Hello and welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast, where we open our Bibles and talk about the beauty, goodness, and truth we find there. I'm your host, Amanda Bible Williams.
And I'm your other host, Rachel Myers. And today we are joined by a power couple, Kevin Queen and his wife, Ree Queen. Kevin is the lead pastor of Crosspoint Church here in Nashville, and Ree is a long time she, like a long time. We'll talk about this on the episode a little bit. They were such a great couple of people to talk about this third week of Joshua with. So many good insights, and my goodness, I just feel like I learned so much from Ree and Kevin, both of them. It's a great episode. I can't wait for you guys to hear it, so let's go.
So officially, we're here to talk about Joshua.
Yes.
With Kevin and Ree. Mm-hmm. However, I saw, Kevin, that you love, we have a questionnaire. We're like, what do you love to encourage people about? And it said prayer and revival. And I was like, Rachel, can we just talk about prayer and revival?
Scrap everything. Let's have that conversation instead.
I feel like that's what, maybe we'll work that in.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I so think that bonus can. Point, totally. That we can work in prayer and revival.
Yeah. We can get there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, I'm excited. This is actually our first time for Amanda and I both to actually get to meet you, Kevin. Yeah. And then we met, I want to say the first time I met you was at a warehouse sale for She Reads Truth. Is that possible?
Well, no. We did meet, but the first time we met
Amanda's
was at Pinewood Social.
Amanda's going to feel very vindicated if it was at Pinewood.
Yes, yeah. It was.
She was telling me this morning, she was like, no, we met at Pinewood. And I was like, no, I think you're thinking of someone else.
No,
and
she was me, because that's a cool story. Let me just remind. We had just decided that we were going to come and be a part of Crosspoint Church. And so Kevin and I were up in Nashville for the first kind of meeting with the elders and this and that. Well, I've been loving She Reads Truth for a lot of years.
Yeah. I love that.
So one of the things that I was just kind of, we were just, you know, just talking on the way up. And one of the things that I was like, wouldn't it be amazing if I'm not putting y'all on a pedestal. The ministry has been life-changing, but wouldn't it be cool to see Amanda and Rachel.
Funny.
And it was just a passing thought, seriously.
No kidding.
No kidding. I'm not even kidding. But that's the example of the way that the Lord just carried us in those months, and just taking us from a place that we'd been forever and bringing us here to Nashville. Is just, he was so kind in just holding our hearts so tenderly, and just the little things that we'd kind of just ask for, he was like, yes, okay, I can do that, because that matters to you and that's going to help this transition. Anyway, so we go to Pinewood Social for this meeting and we're going to the bathroom, and I said, there's Amanda and Rachel in that booth. And Kevin goes, you better go over there and say thank you.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I can't, know, you know, whatever. And I did. And that's where we met. We took a picture.
When
and
you
I've
say
got the
booth
picture,
by the bathroom right now, actually, it's coming back to me. So, yes, I do remember
so
this.
It was just a God moment. I'll never forget it, because it just represents to me just the kindness of the Lord and the nearness to him, and just the way he hears our prayers, even if they're little bitty prayers that we just kind of throw up. So anyway, that's
I
where we first
that.
Met.
So well, Rachel was like,
I don't know, maybe I wasn't there. I was like, no, you had to be there, because no one, the only time people recognize it is if we are together.
We're Bert and Ernie.
Yeah. It's Bert and Ernie. Yeah. So if you see Bert, you're like, I don't know.
Maybe it's not Bert, because Ernie's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was so cool.
It's so true.
That was the duo I had to choose, Bert and Ernie.
Sure.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah. When was that? When did you guys come to Nashville?
2017.
Okay.
So it was sometime in the spring, summer of 2017. Yeah.
So you've been reading with She Reads Truth a long time, because that's like
I've
midway.
Been probably 2014, 2015.
Wow.
Which is essentially right it's there in
time.
The first few years.
Yeah. My sister and I kind of discovered you together, and we've been kind of just running alongside each other. Yeah. She Reads Truth has been life-changing for us, truly.
I just think that's so cool. Like, that just in that way, because we admire the work you guys do so much, and just to know God's kindness that you just expressed, it's just so remarkable, because to know that you are encouraged by this, and like, and we are so encouraged by your ministry. Mm-hmm. It just that's the church. That's the way
absolutely.
It works.
Absolutely.
It's so cool.
And then we fast forward to, you know, 2021, in the winter of 2021, like here we are finally like getting to meet Kevin and like getting to sit down with you, Ree, in like a
for the
really,
record, you were there.
Yeah,
I
you
remember.
Were there.
You were there.
I mean, technically,
he was making a beeline to the bathroom.
Sure,
so he didn't
But we're getting to sit down, and we joked before we hit record, like, what a week to like invite you to come and chat with us, because Joshua, like the third week of Joshua, it's a lot of like tribal allotments, like yeah. tons of lists. And honestly, the story that you just shared, it just, mm-hmm. it's sweet to me because for you, mm-hmm. like that detail doesn't matter to everybody. Mm-hmm. That detail matters to it you. Does. And that was God showing you his That's kindness. Right. And in the same way, like what we're going to read yeah. this week mm-hmm. is a lot of details that like, they don't matter a lot to me mm-hmm. Personally. I mean, of course, scripture matters yeah. to me. Like, let me be clear.
Yes. Yeah.
But what they are, it is like this kind, intimate detailing yeah. of God keeping his promises and being near to a whole lot of people.
That's right.
To me, like God being kind to you in that yeah. really personal way is what we're going to read right. here in week three.
Right.
That's funny that you say that because I had those same exact thoughts when I...
You're kidding.
No, I had those same exact thoughts when... Kevin, you know, when we found out the weeks we would kind of discuss today, and I was kind of like, great, what are we going to talk about?
Right,
sort of
right,
the same
right.
thing. But
like, what did I ever do to them?
But I'm going to tell you, I had to get real honest with myself, like, and realize, like you were saying, Rachel, that scripture is, all scripture is important.
Exactly.
And it took yeah. me back. I've heard you quote this scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 a lot.
Yeah.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, mm-hmm. rebuking, correcting, training, and righteousness. So that means that Joshua 12 through Joshua 17 is useful and God-breathed. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be important for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and righteousness. And yeah. so when I set that in my heart, oh my gosh, y'all, just as an encouragement to anybody that's listening, if you haven't, or if you've decided I'm going to skip week three of the Lent study, don't.
Don't skip mm-hmm. it.
Don't skip it.
Yeah, you'll
there
miss out.
So much. Mm-hmm. So much. So hopefully we'll pull all that stuff out here in the next few minutes. But
yeah, I love it.
Well, we're counting on that because I'm just looking at your at your other half over here thinking like, Kevin, what do we, because I do think that is the first reaction mm-hmm. is like, you know, because I was reading, if I really need help staying on task and reading, I will read it and listen at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like, how many sources of input can I get so that this actually
engages many senses as possible
into my heart and yeah. my head? And even that, I'm just like, oh, come on. Like, I just want to like, how fast can this guy talk if I like fast forward? But then you're like, no, you yeah. know? And I think yeah. even that yeah. practice is good mm-hmm. for our hearts mm-hmm. to be like, okay, Lord, mm-hmm. and to remember that this is a big deal. And it's yes. not just a big deal to these individual people, but to generations
Absolutely.
that would come after them.
Yep.
And just the detail with which God fulfills his promises.
Absolutely.
That it's not just like, here's the land, we've conquered it now, like go forward and, you know, be
right.
happy. It's not that. It's like, no, I'm gonna tell you specifically
That's right.
how this goes. But set this up for us. What do we make of multiple chapters of names that we can't pronounce?
Well, you know, I think it's helpful in context of like where we're at right now in Lent. And we're saying, okay, this is a time, this is a season, where we're at in our culture, where we're at in our world. Yeah, I want to take you back. I think it was in Joshua 3:4, where God tells his people, he says, I want you to keep your eyes on me. I want you to kind of stay back from the ark, but I want you to focus on me because I'm about to take you somewhere that you've never been before.
Mm-hmm.
And that verse just, I was like, if there was ever a 2020 mm-hmm. verse, like mm-hmm. that's it. We're going to go somewhere that's unfamiliar, that's uncomfortable, that we've never been before. And so it's about proximity. It's about walking with the Lord. Now, back then, God said, I want you to kind of stay back. But now we can be as close as we want to be
mm.
you know, through the ministry of the Spirit
yeah,
and the Spirit that dwells in us. Like, if there is always more of God if we want him. And
yeah.
so I think
mm-hmm.
that, for me, when we look at what it means to take the land, to take the inheritance, the spiritual
mm-hmm.
inheritance,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had God told me one time, he's like, in the Old Testament, we look for types.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he talks about we're looking for types. Like a typewriter would take a stamp and leave an image. We're looking for types of Christ. We're looking
mm-hmm.
for pictures of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua, you know, mm-hmm. we've got the name, one who saves. And Jesus, Yeshua, he is our one who saves. He is our salvation. So we're looking for, okay, what's the type? What do we take? What's the promise? What's the inheritance?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to have an inheritance? What does it mean to take that? So we're asking all those questions before they go in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's helpful to step back and just say, Jesus, what do you want to teach me about you
mm-hmm.
through this
mm-hmm.
text?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to see in some of the errors and some of the mistakes they made, some of the
yeah.
some of the ways they didn't do the thing God did, that it cost them. It cost
yeah.
them for generations.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yes, these are real people. And it might not matter to us much because it's not our yard.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
not our, like, but
right.
it matters to them because it's their yard.
Yeah.
We had a crazy thing happen during the pandemic. And neighbor Randy, who lives next door, neighbor Randy, he looks over our fence. It is so like
Wilson.
Yeah.
Wilson.
Yeah.
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 Like, yeah.
Home improvement.
He looks
yeah.
over our fence. He's just, it's a great guy. Like, love Randy and Lace and their family. But he said, I think your yard is bigger than you think. And I was like, what? And we've had this fence and there are trees and stuff behind. He's like, I think your property's more than what you think. And I'm just like, what? He's like, you need to go and look like on the GIS, on the maps.
Yeah.
And so we went and like looked, and our yard is actually double the size that we have.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
And so double?
There's a fence.
And I was envisioning like, oh, it goes like another foot or two.
No. For some reason, we've had like all these woods behind and there's a fence. And so what we end up doing, Rhea and I were talking, we're like, I think like, let's take the fence down.
If ever there was a time to do a yard project.
That's
right.
That's
2020.
And now we've got double the backyard.
You're
like
kidding.
Like we've got grass, we've got room to, you know, put a pool. I don't know. But like there was this moment where like it mattered because it's our backyard. That story might not matter to you, but it was our backyard.
But it's a big deal to you.
Big deal to us.
Yeah.
You talk about boundaries and you talk about inheritance, you talk about land. Mm-hmm. Like these are people, these are their families, these are their lives. Mm-hmm. And I think the same is true spiritually in this time where God's saying, where have you put self-limiting thoughts? Like where have you limited on the inheritance that I have for you in the spirit? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like where is there more? Mm-hmm. And so this is about us in our day taking the territory that God is, that God's given. So this is just going to be a powerful couple chapters, chapters this week.
Yeah. So. That's so good. It reminds me of those false boundaries. We talk a lot about that when we talk about reading God's word. Like what false things have you put up? Like what walls have you built that
heard
really
and believed or even told yourself?
That's right. Like what lies, usually they're lies, are like allowed to be a wall between you and God's word, because it's remarkable how many of us don't feel like we can read God's word, that we're invited to, that we're qualified to, and so that's something that since the early years of She Reads Truth, you've probably heard us say that, Ree, that like it is. And once you realize like, oh, that's not, the Lord didn't put that there. And if I believe, you know, what he says, I don't even have to knock down that wall. It's just not there.
Right.
It's a figment of my imagination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's so powerful. And we do, it's a good reminder that like, we have a lot of power by like what we believe and what we read, and just that there's value, you know, the 2 Timothy verse, there's such value in just reading God's word and knowing what it says. Mm-hmm. You don't have to understand it all. Mm-hmm. Just read it and know what it says. Mm-hmm. It has power.
And when you read it, sometimes, like we've kind of alluded to, like what we're going to read this week, it's like reading a map without pictures. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's a lot of like, and then this is the boundary and this is the, okay, cool. Like those boundaries aren't even necessarily all present in 2021. Yeah. Like it's all... Yeah. And so we're going to read this map with no pictures.
Yeah.
You guys are like hanging on the edge of your seats to know like what I kept losing my train of thought about. And like one thing we can learn from this, like where you were saying, like if scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, we can learn the ins and outs of the tribal allotments. Mm-hmm. But even better than that, we can learn about God.
That's right.
And so what we're going to learn from that is, if nothing else, if genuinely nothing else that we learn this week, and I hope we learn more than this, but still, God keeps his promises.
That's right.
This is God fulfilling his covenant with Father Abraham. And
that's
this,
right.
Like, and so I like to like say whole statements without a question following it so that everybody's like,
Yes, that is cool, Rachel.
Yeah. Rachel, you'd be, see, this is where like every time we have an interview with Annie Downs, when we're her guests and she's like asking these real, like she's like the best interviewer I've ever met. And I'm like, oh, I need to be an interviewer, not just a conversationer.
No, but it's a little bit different than what we're doing.
And the reason that I paused,
I was thinking about what you said, because I think like, inheritance, like there's a gift, like God is giving and it's his to give. Mm-hmm. He has the authority to give it, right? But it's also a, I'm not going to say gift that keeps on giving, because that's not what we're going to say. He's giving, but there's also like a possessing, like a receiving.
Absolutely.
And
that's good.
You know, like living in this inheritance.
Right.
Because
that's
as we just
like,
said,
literally like, stepping into
you
it.
Don't have to.
Yeah.
They could have said, I mean, this would have been silly. Why would we do this? To say like, thanks, I'm actually going to go try to live somewhere else. That's, you know, and like that, no, that's not it. Yeah. Like God is giving and we are receiving.
That's right.
And the inheritance is there's a possession. There's
a
transfer.
That's right.
You know, like I'm giving you this to possess and inhabit.
It's also helpful to like remember that everybody wasn't standing in their allotted land when they heard what their allotted land was.
Yes.
They still had to travel to it.
Yep.
So they heard their land and they were like, okay, now we're going to go
to
that and like explore it. And look at what the boundaries are, mm-hmm. like see what God has given us.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, yeah, we're here already. Cool. Yeah.
Can you imagine how exciting that must have been?
Let's go check it out.
It's like, and, mm-hmm. and I think about, you know, us in Christ, you know, in the new covenant, we have been given the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. Like that's been given to us.
Yeah.
But we have to fight for that. We have to take every thought captive. Yeah. So there is this inheritance of, you know, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. There's an ownership that we take. You know, there's the washing of the word. There's that going back and being rooted in scripture and taking those thoughts captive. And that's how we live in the inheritance. But it's when we let those strongholds set up, just like what we're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when we let those strongholds, or we don't clear land and we become comfortable with things that Jesus died for, you know, and we let those strongholds set up and we wonder, why am I still struggling with it? Why is this continuing? Hmm. Well, it's time to take that territory, you know, to take action on it, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, we do it by grace and knowing that he's already won. Mm-hmm. And we use the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, right? To take back that territory. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it like even like with marriage. Marriage is the covenant. It's a gift. It's a gift that God's given. Mm-hmm. But we have to fight for it.
Yeah.
You know, and fighting for it is what keeps us from fighting with, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when we, you know, we get in the moments and we might be fighting with, no, we're fighting for, you know, not fighting with. Mm-hmm. So this applies in all of life, the territory that's been given, the inheritance that's been received. It's not bartered. It's not bought. It has been bought. Jesus paid the price, but we don't buy. It's not transactional in that sense, but it is us receiving and then fighting for.
That's good.
Yeah. I even think about the Holy Spirit. Like that's the down payment. Yeah. That's our first fruits of our inheritance that we're yet to get, you know. But I think about myself and like, if I've inherited the Holy Spirit as the first fruits of what God has for us as the down payment of my inheritance, am I taking that seriously? Am I trusting the Holy Spirit? Am I listening to the Holy Spirit? Like if indeed everyone who believes in Christ has the Spirit, are we laying hold of that inheritance?
That's right.
That's good. Yeah.
That's good.
Yep.
Walking.
Have some questions for you, Kevin. One question, and I'm just going to kind of bounce around. Sometimes we go kind of through the reading. This strikes me as one where we're just going to like talk kind of higher level. But there are times in these chapters in Joshua, we know Moses is dead. There are times in these chapters where it says Moses struck down so-and-so or Moses, like one of them is in the day 16 reading in Joshua 13.
Verse 12.
Yes. In Joshua 13, verse 12, where we're talking about, it's under the heading in the CSB, the inheritance east of the Jordan. And it says there in verse 8, with the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, the Reubenites and Gadites had received the inheritance Moses gave them beyond the Jordan to the east, just as Moses, the Lord's servant, had given them. And then it begins to list this, you know, to describe this territory. In verse 12, it says, Moses struck them down and drove them out, but the Israelites did not drive out the Geshurites and Micathites. We're just going to go with that. But help us understand the chronology and like there's some like present tense kind of stuff that like that sounds like this is happening, but we know Moses is gone.
Right.
I asked Amanda this in her office this morning. I was like, wait. Like obviously Moses is dead and the whole like thing is like he didn't go into the promised land. So when it says he struck them down and drove them out, was that pre-promised land? I can't imagine that we, I mean, maybe we can know this by looking at a map, but
She asked me, and I said, we're going to ask Kevin.
Yeah, that's a great, great question. I would ask Ree, and I would just say.
Is that the east? The east?
Because it says the east, to the east.
Yeah,
so to the east would have been on the other side of the Jordan.
Yeah. Okay.
When I see where it says Moses struck the man, all of Moses' work would have been to the east of the Jordan.
Okay.
That's the way I read it.
And
that's what took place. Too. And I think that Moses, when it says Moses struck them down, you know, there were basically, what, three kings? Because back in chapter 12— and I think it gives like
King Og,
three kings under Moses and 16 kings under the southern kingdom and 15 under the upper part of the land that Joshua takes out. So I think it's like Moses gets three, Joshua gets 31.
The rest.
Okay, yeah.
And what strikes me about Moses' work on the other side before they get into the promised land, it's like they weren't warriors then. They were wanderers. They were moving through. God was getting the Egypt out of their hearts, right? Mm-hmm. He was freeing them from the fear and from this desire to go back. And it's not until Joshua takes lead that they begin to really take ground. I think back on Moses. Moses was hands up prayer. you know, that would lead to Joshua winning the battle. Joshua was always the warrior. Moses was the prophet. He was the, you know, the man who went up on the mountain, you know, the man of God.
They came out of Egypt physically very strong in battle formation, but not spiritually strong.
Not spiritually strong. No, he says, I had to take you the long way because if I would have taken you the shortcut, you wouldn't have gotten it. You know, and so you see this, like they could have done this 1 year through the wilderness, 7 years clear the land. They could already be in 8 years. You know, but God had to go the longer way because he had to build up on within, so that they would truly be his people that were ready to walk with him.
Yeah.
And so I think about like that work with Moses, but then you had these other tribes that said, we're not ready to cross.
Yeah.
Like we want to stay here. And just as we see that, about this allotment on the other side, you know, they chose that because of the cattle.
Okay.
They chose that because it was better grazing for the cattle. But what we're going to see later on is it wasn't better for their children.
Okay.
Yeah. It was because they made that compromise. And I just started thinking, you know, how many borderline Christians are there who say, you know, we're going to receive, yes, the inheritance, but we're going to stay in the safer place and we're going to be borderline because it's easier for us. And you go, okay, why would they not possess land? Why would they not fight to clear the territory? Well, I think there were two reasons. I think one of them was they wanted peace at any cost.
Okay.
And so they were willing to compromise for a sake of peace.
Hmm.
They were willing to compromise for a second, and peace being lack of any conflict.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they were willing to accommodate the enemy in the land that God gave them. It's like, okay. And then the other part was tribute, is that they're going, okay, if we let them live here, like with the Canaanites, we let them live here, we can receive from them. There can be something that we can get from them.
Wow,
so it was basically greed, materialism, and compromise. I mean, those were the two things. And they said, but it'll be better. We can have our cattle, we can do it. But then we see later on that their kids are stuck in this place where on the other side of the Jordan, they're far away from Shiloh, where the presence of God, the tabernacle. And so then they begin, we'll make our own form of worship. And so they begin to make compromises because one generation was borderline.
Man.
You know? And so you just go, okay, where's their territory that we need to clear for the sake of the next generation? This matters. It matters in our lives, you know, as well. And so so Joshua led the people well in that they did. They cleared a lot of land, but you still see some of the tribes that were... They just had a sense of apathy toward the thing that God had called them to do.
Yeah. In this week's reading, when we read Joshua 14, which is where we read Israel's inheritance in Canaan and Caleb's inheritance, so we get to read about Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
The supplemental passage for that day is from Numbers 14, where Israel doesn't go into Canaan.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to see Joshua through this lens, like we're in the Joshua narrative right now, but to look back and see him then before he was the Joshua that we know now.
Yeah.
I know this is not from our primary text, but I think that we should read a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So in Joshua 14, it's talking about Caleb, and he says, "My brothers who went with me caused me to lose heart." This is verse 8. "But I followed the Lord, my God, completely." And so there's this, you know, Caleb as, the title of our reading in this day is Caleb's loyalty to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see a snapshot of Caleb in this Numbers passage as well. But yeah, would one of you like to read that for us? Just, I'm looking at Numbers 14, 1 through 10, essentially.
Reed, will you read that for us?
I would love to. The Numbers section, Numbers 14, not Joshua. Okay, Numbers. Numbers 14, 1 through 10. "Then the whole community broke into loud cries, and the people wept that night. All the Israelites complained about Moses and Aaron, and the whole community told them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to die by the sword? Our wives and children will become plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let's appoint a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole assembly of the Israelite community. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who scouted out the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite community, 'The land we passed through and explored is an extremely good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and give it to us. Only don't rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land, for we will devour them. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them.' While the whole community threatened to stone them, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tent of meeting."
I mean, what a scene.
Yeah.
And just that they were not only unhappy with what Joshua and Caleb
were saying, but they threatened to stone them. Mm-hmm. It's that safety of like, and not having the long vision you know, of just being like, listen, it's going fine right here. We're going to stay right here. Yeah. And mm-hmm. Caleb and Joshua were like, there's something better. Mm-hmm. And we trust the Lord. Right. And we've even seen it. We've seen it with our own eyes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the spiritual implications are just.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what jumped out to me about Caleb so much, was that he just knew God was trustworthy, mm-hmm. that God was worthy of his trust. Mm-hmm. And he remembered God and his faithfulness and his goodness. And I just started like going down the trail of Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord mm-hmm. with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding, yeah. and all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I don't know, that just jumped out to me as just a picture of how Caleb lived. Mm-hmm. He just yeah. trusted the Lord, and the Lord totally directed his path from when he was young. And so we know that he was 40, but I think this is a lifetime of Caleb looking to the Lord and trusting him and following him and remembering him, mm-hmm. remembering him, because it says he was loyal. Can I say one more thing?
No, please.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. This was one of my pieces of, you know, the gold that I just shimmered as I read this, Caleb's life, and just,
yeah.
you know, just kind of thinking about him. But in that Numbers, still in that Numbers passage, Numbers 14, verse 24, mm-hmm. it says, but since my servant Caleb has a different spirit and has remained loyal to me, I will bring him into the land where he has gone, and his descendants will inherit it. And that those four words, actually, different spirit and remained loyal, just jumped out at me from the moment I read this, like one time through. And it just sat with me, but I couldn't quite like totally wrap my mind around what that meant for yeah. me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know how you kind of read things and you're just like, okay, there's something in there, like personally for me.
Yeah.
So I underlined it and I just kind of went on. Well, this morning, okay, I'm not trying to get emotional. I'm not going to get emotional, but it's just
we
the
do
goodness
that emotions are yeah. totally fine.
It's just so sweet. I was like, okay, well, let me just look at this word spirit. And so, of course, we know that that word spirit is that Ruach, how are you saying? The spirit of God, the very breath of God. And so I just started thinking about that as like, Caleb had a different breath. He had a different way of breathing. You know, like sometimes like Kevin and I'll be in the kitchen and I'll go, and he'll be like, why are you sighing so loudly?
Did I say it like that?
Maybe that's me to him. I don't know.
Maybe I did.
Maybe that's me to him. Anyway, but you know, when you hear that sigh, that breath, that, uh-huh. that way of breathing, it indicates something that's going on inside of you. And so mm-hmm. I was just thinking about Caleb having that different breath where it's just the very breath of God that is just a calm, just a fullness, just a trusting, mm-hmm. and it just shows itself in just the way he carries himself. So I don't know, that was something that just, oh, it just ministered to my heart this morning so powerfully. So
I love that.
Yeah.
I think about you quoting Proverbs 3:5-6, mm-hmm. and it's that second line in 5 that says, and lean not on your mm-hmm. own understanding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that I can get real excited all the time about trusting the Lord with mm-hmm. all your heart, mm-hmm. but that, and lean not on your own yes. understanding. Well, come on now, you yeah. know, like,
yes.
and so that's really important for me to remember. Yeah. And it's something that we see happening here in Numbers. A lot of folks are relying on their own understanding yeah. and going like, no, we've actually seen it and this isn't going to work out. Just mm-hmm. trust us. Like mm-hmm. we understand mm-hmm. that this won't work, instead mm-hmm. of truly trusting yeah. the Lord and asking him to direct our paths.
Right. Love it. And we see it with Caleb. I think if you look at the text in Joshua chapter 14,
yeah.
I believe it's verse 12, I just circled the word perhaps. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, it just mm-hmm. struck me. He says, perhaps the Lord will be with me mm-hmm. and will drive them mm-hmm. drive them out as the Lord promised.
Yeah.
He's saying the Lord promised, but then he gives this perhaps. Mm-hmm. Like there's this sense of like, maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But
right.
I know, but I'm going to go do
yeah.
it,
yeah.
Right?
Right?
And we think of faith as being certainty, but faith is what fills the gap of uncertainty for us to take action and take yeah. the land. Mm-hmm. And so I was just thinking, and I just went and did a word study on perhaps,
yeah.
and it brought me to the place where, remember Jonathan, where he tells his armor bearer, hey, let's go up and let's go take the Philistines. Perhaps the Lord will go, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I yeah. just love that because like we want this certainty.
That's right.
You know, mm-hmm. but then yeah. God just gives us like this spirit of like, mm-hmm. perhaps, like mm-hmm. maybe, let's yeah. just see mm-hmm. what God does. And then along the way, God gives, like he'll give a glimpse, like at the Pinewood Social, seeing you guys, mm-hmm. where he's just like, yeah, this is the way I have for mm-hmm. you. But for us in the moment, like we think we heard from God, like,
yeah.
but it still feels a lot like perhaps, you know, yeah. when you're trying to tell other people, God's calling us to go to Nashville, leave everything. And
right.
it's like, But perhaps, you know, and so we're kind of living in that place of faith that gives God mm-hmm. room to fill the gap, yeah. you know, with the story. And so even Caleb, loyal, different spirit, but he even lived with that sense
right.
of like,
yeah, that's good.
I think perhaps. That's such an honest thing to say that like we know who God is
yeah. Yeah.
And we know what he has done. Mm-hmm. We know some of what he's doing. We know some of what he's going to do. And there's a lot that we don't know.
There's a lot that we don't
and
know.
And there is a bigness to God. I don't need a God. I think Jenny Allen said when she was on the podcast back in the fall, she was like, I don't want a God that totally makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like I he's mm-hmm. bigger than that. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's beautiful to be honest and say, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask the Lord to direct my paths. And perhaps this is what he has right. for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you see like Caleb, like he's one of those that actually saw the giants. Like he went yeah. into the yeah. land. Other people didn't see it. He saw the giants, but he came away with here. I love this. He came away with the grapes.
Yeah.
Right. And so I find like even in life, we can either be experts in the giants mm-hmm. or we can mm-hmm. look for the grapes. Mm-hmm. Like, and I just look back on 2020 and there's some people who became experts in the giants, like, and mm-hmm. they just with fear and intimidation. It's yeah. like, man, who are the people who are seeing the grapes mm-hmm. coming back mm-hmm. with them? No, let me tell mm-hmm. you about the goodness of the Lord and the land mm-hmm. of living, like coming yeah. back with a story, right. with the testimony. Let me show mm-hmm. you yes. what God has done mm-hmm. so that builds faith in other people. Mm-hmm. And he talked more about the grapes than he did the giants. That's what I love about what you do, getting mm-hmm. people in the word, yeah. mm-hmm. talking about that. We're going, no, let's go to a more truer narrative.
Yeah.
Let's go to a truer story.
Yeah.
Let's go to the story that is eternal. Yeah. Let's go to what doesn't change. And mm-hmm. that's what I love about what you do. And bringing people yes. back. Let's talk about the grapes because
yeah.
the land is ours. And mm-hmm. so you see this in Caleb. And even with all that, he's like, perhaps.
Yeah.
But the
that's
faith
right.
yeah. is in the let's go do it.
Let's go yeah. do it.
Let's right. take the mountain. That's right. what he said. Yeah. I want the mountain.
Yes.
Right?
If I go
yes,
down, it's like I'm gonna go down in obedience.
Yes, yes. That's yeah. right. Yeah. And he's like, yeah. take the mountain. And that's yep. what God's looking for, men and women who would be mm-hmm. and students who would be willing to say, I want to take the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, don't give me the like give me the hill country. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. let's go take that. Let's mm-hmm. clear the land.
And know? so much of all of the scripture, it's, you know, that living and dying situation where like everyone is afraid to die. We are afraid to die. And yet we all know there is a 100% mortality rate,
right?
right? So Caleb, you know, he was either going to die obeying or die disobeying. And mm-hmm. he chose to die obeying.
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. There's something so freeing about this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, mm-hmm. it's one of the reasons that we just maintain that it's so important to have these conversations out loud and on a podcast where yeah. others can hear.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if we know that we're not always given the gift of certainty or clarity. Mm-hmm. In yeah. fact, mm-hmm. I think a lot of times, you know, we're not. I mean, right. if Caleb says, perhaps, I should say perhaps mm-hmm. more often. Mm-hmm. But we still, it's that act as if.
That's
I
right.
think
That's
that right. so yes. often in yes. the church, we feel like, okay, if I have to muster as much faith as I can, and then I have to act as if I have the rest of it, you know, that I'm just like, I'm so certain. And it reminds me of, and I don't remember the full quote, it reminds me of the Mother Teresa quote where, you know, she asks if she can pray for someone, and they're like, can you pray that I would have clarity? And she's like, oh, no.
Yeah. yeah.
I will pray that you will trust
yeah.
the
yeah.
Lord. Yeah. And so I yeah. think of that so often because we pray for wisdom.
We'll put that in the show notes because it's such
yeah.
a good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The real quote's very right. good.
Yeah.
but, it, you know, we pray for wisdom and scripture invites us mm-hmm. to ask for wisdom,
yes.
right?
Yes.
But I so often find myself asking for clarity mm-hmm. and then catching myself. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think that's all right mm-hmm. to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. to also say like, you know, more than that, just give me trust.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just help me to trust
yeah.
you
yeah.
because that's where our faith expands and our relationship. You know, it's not the times. If I looked at you and said, Kevin and Ray, mm-hmm. is it the times of clarity and certainty that has strengthened your relationship, or is it the times of trust and
yes.
uncertainty
yes.
and faith?
Yes.
And I think it's the same
yes.
with the Lord, but we so often don't apply the same logic.
Mm.
That's what struck me so much in our conversation mm-hmm. at the very beginning of the year with John Mark Comer is how there's a logic break a lot of times in how we view our relationship with Jesus, like what it means to follow, and then like, okay, but how do I actually apply that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that applies here.
Hey friends, Amanda here. I want to take a moment to tell you about one of our podcast sponsors, August Cloth. Here's the thing. Finding clothes that fit like a dream and have effortless style can feel like hunting for a unicorn. Sure, I want to look cute and put together, but I also want my clothes to feel like me. And thanks to the adventure that was 2020, I now insist on being comfortable at all times. That's why I'm genuinely excited to introduce you to August Cloth, an online clothing boutique that offers curated styles and true-to-life try-on videos so you can find a look you love in the size that's right for you. And as an adoptive mama, I love that the owner of August Cloth and fellow She Who Reads Truth, Crystal, is also dedicated to using their business to support adoptees, birth families, and adoptive families. But back to the clothes. Crystal and her team chose some styles for us to try, and I'll be honest, they have me pegged. This week alone, I've worn the Angie Knit sweater and the Cora Color Block sweater, which Rachel has already threatened to borrow slash steal, and the gals in the office complimented me on both, and I was comfortable. Cute and comfortable. This is the goal. August Cloth is giving She Reads Truth podcast listeners 15% off your purchase at augustcloth.com just by using the code SRT15 at checkout. The code only lasts until March 7th, so be sure to shop before then. Also, if you want to keep up with their new arrivals, you can follow August Cloth on Instagram or Facebook at August Cloth. New arrivals drop every Thursday, and you know they're doing these try-on videos as each item releases. So, go to augustcloth.com and use code SRT15 for 15% off, now through March 7th. Hey friends, Amanda here. We want to pause for a moment to tell you about a free resource we think you'll love. One of the questions we often get asked by our listeners is, what commentary do you use? What resources do you turn to when you have questions about a book of the Bible or you just want to dig deeper into the text? One of the primary tools the team here at She Reads Truth relies on to create the content you love is Logos Bible Software. Logos is a digital library that you can search just like you would the internet. But unlike the internet, the answers you find are from trusted Christian writers, resources, and theologians. Even better, it's full of tools that you can't get anywhere else. There's a Bible word study tool, step-by-step Bible study guides, helpful images, maps, and so much more. We love Logos because it has everything we need to really dig into the context of the Bible and be confident about how we are interpreting Scripture. For a limited time, Logos is offering the She Reads Truth community a free study bundle curated especially for you by our team. It includes resources like the CSB, which is the translation we use in our study books, commentaries on Joshua and Mark to accompany our Lent series, the Book of Common Prayer, and a devotional Bible from Charles Spurgeon, who is one of my favorite theologians. This is a $70 bundle, and it's offered to you for free, but only until May 31st. Head over to logos.com/SRT today. That's logos.com/SRT.
Hey friends, Rachel here. I want to tell you about what our friends at Apartment Life are doing. Apartment Life has connected more than 65,000 apartment residents with a local church over the last 20 years. They believe that every individual is created for community, so they're building that community among apartment neighbors. Apartment Life is looking for coordinators to join their program. They want people who love Jesus, get excited about hospitality, and are really interested in taking the opportunity to be with people when life gets tough. And get this, they're going to equip you, they're going to walk alongside you, and they are going to provide you with either a reduced rent apartment or a part-time salary. If this sounds like you, I want to encourage you to check out this opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus to your actual neighbors. And right now, Apartment Life also has a little special offer for all She Reads Truth podcast listeners. You can get 10% off in the Apartment Life swag shop. They have some really cute hoodies, sweatshirts, and tees that are worth checking out. Visit apartmentlife.org/SheReadsTruth to apply to be a coordinator in your area and to get 10% off Apartment Life swag. Visit apartmentlife.org/SheReadsTruth. Okay, back to the show.
Hey, Rachel. Hey,
yes,
Rachel.
Ma'am. Yeah.
Over there across the room from me. Would you read Romans 11, 33-36 for us? Because this is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This is Paul. Mm-hmm. I like how Paul talks to Joshua and to us. Mm-hmm. It says, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? And who has been his counselor? And who has ever given to God that he should be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. Mm-hmm. To him be the glory forever. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That's the word of the Lord.
Yes, it is. Thanks be to God. Mm-hmm.
But it's that I feel like Caleb gets that.
Yeah. Totally. Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Unsearchable his judge, untraceable his ways.
Yeah.
And yet we pretend to know exactly.
I just love how the Old Testament preaches to me. Yeah. And I think that like somehow like I've been a believer for nearly my entire life. And I still go like, well, I don't know. Like I trust that I will see something here. Mm-hmm. I just love how the Old Testament preaches to me, because even last week we were like facing this story about Achan and how like, oh man, like he disobeyed, and like not only was he just eliminated, but like his kids, his family, like it was just, you're done. And I just thought, like, how are we going to talk about this? And live on the podcast, you know, we're having the conversation, and the Lord's speaking to me and just going like, no, like this is Romans 6. Like this is to remind you that the wages of sin is death. And that is like, I am, my heart is just as dark as Achan's. Like I am just as disobedient as him. And the story of Achan last week made me remember how great the gift of Jesus is. And here, as we're reading about Caleb, I'm just learning so much about how even my decisions, Kevin, to, you know, be hesitant in my faith, that impacts my kids, you know, like, I mean, pre-pandemic world, you know, Ryan and I had a conversation where we were like, you know, we're one generation away from our kids not going to Sunday school if we don't, you know, like where we were attending church on Sunday morning, but we were kind of getting lazy. We lived far away from our church at the time. We've since moved like almost next door to our church because that matters so much to us, but we were lazy about it. And there's no other way to put it, because we were on time for our dinner reservations. We were on time for our kids' sporting events, but we were not very good about making it to Sunday school. And that is actually something that matters to us. I understand that like attending Sunday school is not like something that makes you a believer, right? But this modeling of choosing to be fully present with the church every Sunday, which does matter to us, we just kind of realized like it mattered to our parents, and we attended every Sunday. We were there every time the doors were open. And then we kind of became a little borderline about it. We were like, well, you know, like at least they'll be in the sanctuary with us. And we just thought, no, that's not what we want for our kids. We want our kids to not shape their Sundays around what their week held, but to shape their weeks around their Sundays. And to really shape whatever happens the rest of the week is only dependent on that we can be there with the body of Christ on Sunday. And I'm speaking to a pandemic world right now. So I know that that looks so different for so many people. But this is just my experience. Like this is what we were walking through, and we were just going like, the decisions we're making impact the generations after us in the same way that the decisions our parents made impacted us. And so it's interesting to think about
And I think you've got this pendulum swing, because I think like we can look at it and we go, well, I don't want to be legalistic.
No.
But then on the other end of the spectrum, you have like licentiousness. You know, like all the way over here. And so I think there's this going, I don't want to be legalistic, but at the same time, I don't want to try to use grace as license to sin, to where, you know, or to be apathetic. Like I want to, I want to be in that place of grace and truth. And I want to walk in those and establish those holy habits. Cause I think really that's what we're like as followers of Jesus. How do we have holy habits without legalism?
Right.
You know, how do we have holy habits of worship? I think that's one
thing. How do we want this because of Christ, not because it matters to check a box or anything
that
like that.
We're not forcing them on our kids, but we are just, we're encouraging and we're, you know, we're feeding them as much as we can, you know, but at the same time, we can't control their hearts, you know, in the same way that the father, and that's why I learned, go back to Caleb, Caleb's daughter. I love that. Remember, there was that part of the text where she goes, Dad, I want some land. And then she's like, well, Dad, what good is land without a spring? And so he gives her the springs. And I, you see the heart of God in Caleb as a father. And that she learned how to be full of faith. She learned how to ask. She had a dad who knew how to ask and how to conquer and how to move in and how to live in the inheritance.
He modeled that for
her. So he passed it on to the next generation. You see her do the exact same. That's why I love it. It's just so true. It just from generation to generation. And while we can't control the next generation, what we can, what we can control, in a sense, what's in our locus of control is our hearts toward God, that we would have a white heart toward
Him. Obedience. It's so much less a conversation about butt in the pew. Sorry for saying butt. But it's so much less a conversation about getting your seat in the pew and showing up for church attendance. It's so much more a conversation of modeling obedience, modeling the pursuit of God, modeling what matters to Christ and making that your own.
And that's the story your kids would tell. Why did we move? Well, we moved to be closer to the church.
Yeah.
Like we moved. I mean, in the same way, like I'm not saying everybody needs to move, but that's okay. Like if you want to move closer, but like you said that this is in our heart. This is a value for us. And we're making this a value for our family. Not out of legalism, but to honor God.
Yeah.
We want to live close.
Yeah, we want to be there
in our life. Yeah. Yeah.
It's reminding me of our 1 hour long conversation with Chris Kane in week one, where we just stayed in the first six verses of chapter
one. We had a whole
one of
to cover, and we got through the first.
Listen, Chris will bring it. But but she was talking about our partnership, like this mystery of like our partnership with God, where there's the verse that says, you know, every place where the sole of your foot trods.
Yeah.
And so there's a doing, there's an action on our part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is the fact that he is the one that was securing the victories and giving the land, but he called them to go and to take it.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to you, but you have to go take it. And man, it was so good. If you haven't heard that one, it's two episodes back. But I want to talk about the daughters for a second.
Yes.
Because we've got here in this week's reading, Joshua 17 in verse 3. And I'm going to ask you to read this, Kevin, because I'm looking at these names going...
Oh, no. We've really like stuck it to Kevin today. Here you go. Here's a hard question.
But it's there. I'm looking at this passage in verses 3-6, essentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's go. I'm going to give it a shot.
Here we go.
Perhaps I'll get it right. Now, Zelophehad, son of Hefer. What a name. Son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, had no sons, only daughters. And these are the names of this. Now, let's just go back. What did that mean in this culture, in this time?
Yeah,
right.
No
right.
sons.
Yeah.
Only daughters.
That's a big deal.
So what does that
big
mean
deal.
For their inheritance?
What does that mean for their, what are they going to get?
Yeah.
Okay. So these are the names of his daughters, Maleha, Noha, Hogla, Milka, and Terza.
I feel so much better knowing that no one can pronounce these names.
Yeah.
In fairness, when we read passages like this in like as a team in staff meeting, we've given like the overall permission. You can just say the first letter of every name.
M-N-H.
You didn't give me that permission.
I said it after.
And they came before the priest Eleazar, Joshua, son of Nun, and the leader, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our male relatives." And so they gave him an inheritance among their father's brothers in keeping with the Lord's instruction. And as a result, 10 tracts fell to Manasseh, besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which are beyond the Jordan. And because Manasseh's daughters received an inheritance among the sons, the land of Gilead belonged to the rest of Manasseh's sons.
Yeah.
So the daughters were not discriminated against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Am I reading that right? That Moses had a hand in this, like kind of...
It says
historically,
the Lord,
he was like, just make sure that they get land.
Yeah. The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our male relatives.
Mm-hmm. I love not only that these girls who didn't have brothers, that they got land, but that they're named. I always love seeing women named in scripture. That's sweet.
What's a
That's
big
special.
Deal? I mean, there aren't a ton of women named in scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that this is called out as it is. He had no sons, only daughters, which would mean that the inheritance just ends right there.
Right. Yeah.
We don't have anyone to pass that down to. Is that right?
Right.
But then that they're named and then we're told what they do where they say, hey, actually, I just figure that had to be a really bold move.
Yeah, it's a bold move. And then you think about what was in the heart of that father.
I was
thinking, man, I missed it.
Yeah.
Like in something that was completely beyond his control.
That's
and he's
right.
just, God, I get, I don't get anything. But then you just see the redemptive heart of God. This guy's saying, Rhea's one of five girls. Like, they're just all, but now, you know, her father has this family. They have how many grandkids? 18, 19. 19.
Wow.
19, you know, cousins. Everybody, like, and God's going, I'm going to care for you. I'm going to provide, you know, for you. So it's just, I love the heart of God in that.
Yeah, totally. And we'll get to that even more next week as we talk about that, like, real, like, the dividing up, the tribal divisions, that kind of thing. That's next week, right?
It does keep going, yes.
Okay.
That line, because Manasseh's daughters received an inheritance among his sons, it reminds me of us. Mm-hmm. You know, that, like, that we receive the inheritance. It's why the word son in the New Testament, I mean, that matters. Yes. It's like that we are now called the sons and we kind of get grumpy sometimes because we're like, wait, but we're daughters. Mm-hmm. But
what that word means,
that's
the significance of us being called sons.
Yes. The fullness of the inheritance
is the implication that we too now inherit.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so, and that's what God does.
Yeah.
It's like, no, my sons and daughters are all going to inherit this. So and it's so powerful, which then brings to mind the image. This is, as our friend Russ would say, the reward of reading scripture over time, because that's bringing to mind Mephibosheth, just that picture of Mephibosheth bringing. When did we read that with our friends, with the community?
I want to say in Advent, but that's not right.
We'll find it and link it because it's such a good story. You need to know. Oh, because we were talking with...
It was Lisa Harper.
It was Lisa Harper because she was calling him Mo.
Mo.
Or Mo.
Or Mo or Bo or one of them. Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. I think Moses is Mo. I digress. Anyway, but that image of like the thrust of it being the people who should not be at the king's table being at the king's table.
Exactly.
But it's not even like, oh, we're skirting the rules to welcome us to the table. It's like, no, God's rule is that we are welcome.
Yeah.
At his table. It's so good. Mm-hmm. The gospel's so rich.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. In this whole thing, that supplementary passage in Psalm 2:8 is just jumping out at me where it says, ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. Mm-hmm. And that ask of me, those five girls, they were just so humble and so bold and so filled with faith, really, to come and just to say, this is what we know is to be given to us. We're asking, give it to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, we can take that in our own lives. Like we know what... Mm. And you can pair it back and talk about inheritance on a larger scale, the inheritance of Jesus.
Yeah.
He is our inheritance. But you can also think about just what having Jesus means and what that inheritance means sections, and then say, I know that's part of my inheritance and I'm asking for it. And he's faithful to give it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And my thoughts when you were talking about the daughters asking and just asking, I just think about how, what was the story in the New Testament where Jesus, the woman reached out and touched the hem of his garment, but he was going to the house of Jairus, he preferred, in that moment, he put off the religious leader to care for his daughter, and what he calls her daughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just love it. She's just 12 years.
Yeah.
She's been suffering and he heals her. It's just this heart of God that in that moment, just stops how the world looks at things and goes, no, I'm going to stop and I'm going to get somebody to touch me. Like just the attentiveness of Jesus to the heart of his daughters.
Yeah. I'm going to give you my full attention. I'm going to take care of you. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. He's so good.
Yeah. So beautiful. So
I want to read as our benediction for today from 1 Peter. Actually, Amanda, I want you to read.
Best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, best friends. Best friends pick the same scriptures. This is what we've been talking about for an hour. And this is where we see this story in Joshua pointing.
Mm-hmm. And it's where reading the Old Testament matters.
Yes.
Because we see every week as we're opening the book of Joshua, we're seeing, oh, this matters. Like, this is preaching to me.
This is
ministering to me. It's teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now we get this beautiful passage from 1 Peter.
Mm. Yes, this is 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
Yes.
This is the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Yes. Thanks be to God.
Guys, thank you for coming this week and talking Joshua with us.
And
talking
tribal
allotments.
Wondered what we were going to talk about.
I want you guys to come back. And I also want you to get a chance to come back for something that is not tribal allotments. but thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, guys.
You guys know that as tradition goes on the She Reads Truth podcast, we take time every week to open scripture and talk about the beauty, goodness, and truth that we found there. And boy, did we this week. Mm-hmm. But now we get to ask you guys, our friends, where in your lives are you seeing beauty, goodness, and truth?
Mm-hmm. You want me to go first? Oh, thank you. These questions are hard for me because I'm like, everything. I see beauty, goodness, and truth in everything. And if I pick one, then that means I'm not saying that's beautiful and good and true, but that's not true.
I love that answer. Everything.
Yeah. But I will say right now in this moment where I'm seeing beauty, goodness, and truth is in the 19th addition to our grandkids, the nieces and nephews, our little nephew that was born on December 13th. Mm. And he is beautiful and just so sweet and just a gift from the Lord in more ways than one. So his name is Fry and he is my beauty, goodness, and truth.
Oh, I love that.
That's so good.
Love that.
Praise the Lord.
How are you going to top that, Kevin?
I'm not.
Yeah.
That's just what I've learned in life. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, I would say it just feels like there's just a fresh spirit that's been poured out on the bride, on the church. Mm-hmm. I think I just sense that things have changed and that there's a renewed hope, that living hope in the hearts of people. hearing stories. I mean, on Monday night, we had baptism service, and there were, I mean, there were a lot of people that were baptized, but we got to stand there, and we did on Monday night so we could just take time and hear each story. Mm-hmm. And there were just stories of people that I've never walked in the doors of a church before, never been to this church, never. I just started watching online. So at the time when we were just like throwing seed out there, going by faith, believing that God, like God was drawing people to himself and people, I think we're going to see the harvest. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, we didn't give up. Yeah. We just don't give up. Like, we're going to see the harvest. I think revival's coming. Yeah. We'll have to talk more about that later. But I think there is a outpouring of the Spirit that's coming like nothing that we've seen before. And I think just keep oiling the lamp.
Yeah.
You know, keep oiling the lamp. Yeah. Be ready.
So. That's true. I mean, Romans 5, like suffering, the first thing that it produces is endurance. Yes. And like to be there, suffering is unpleasant.
Yeah.
But you're right that even to be faithful in the suffering of the past year of having to be apart, like not getting to be in person, all of those things, the Lord was without a doubt at work and still is. Totally. And the ways that we, I think for generations, we'll see the way that he redeems the year that we had and continue to have. I think that he's in the business of redemption. It's his specialty. And so I can't wait to see all the ways.
I'm going to sneak this story in really fast.
There was
a girl, she was 16 years old. Heard her story and it just so ties in with your mission and what you're about. 16-year-old girl grew up in a family where faith wasn't part of her family. Mom and dad separated, both remarried. She ends up talking with a tutor right before the pandemic and before things shut down. The tutor mentions Jesus that stays in her heart. She wants to know more. So over the quarantine, right when things are shut down, she buys a Bible.
Okay.
And she starts reading through the Bible. And the Holy Spirit, when Jesus said, you don't need a teacher, you got the Spirit. So the Spirit, she becomes convinced in her heart that Jesus is the way. She finds Christ. She basically God teaches her Christianity, right? With this.
With his word.
This 16-year-old girl and his word, she comes alive.
Yeah.
Like fully alive. I'm talking like fully awakened to truth. She starts telling everybody. She goes and reads the book, God's Not Dead.
Yeah.
And she starts like, Christians are coming to her and asking her questions. She hasn't even been Christian a year.
Wow.
She gets baptized on Monday night, brings her entire volleyball team. Her entire volleyball team comes with her coach, both her parents, both sets of parents.
Wow.
Everybody's there to see her baptism. And that happened during the middle of one of the toughest years, right?
Right.
Those stories, I'm telling you, they're coming.
Yeah.
Like we're taking the mountain, right?
Yeah.
But it goes back to his word, the word and spirit coming together.
Yeah.
Like that's where the power's at.
Amen.
So
let's
get ready.
Ready.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Okay, friends, come back next week. We have our friend, a repeat guest, Jada Edwards, is coming back to wrap the book of Joshua with us. And the following week, Lauren Chandler will be joining us to kick off the book of Mark as a part of our Lent series. So we have good things coming. Come back next week. And then Kevin and Ree, until next week, what do we say?
Keep opening your Bibles.
They're so cute with the eye contact and like, let's get this right.
That was the cutest keep opening your Bibles that we've had yet.
Yes.
Just apologies to past guests, but that went.
All right. Thanks, friends. See you next week.